Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. We developed a brand new tool for you, the Entree Architect community. It's called the Entree Architect Profit Calculator, and it's completely free. Just download 6 simple steps, and within minutes, you'll determine how much net profit your firm earned in 2018. Download the Entree Architect Profit Calculator now for free at entrearchitect.com/profit calculator. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where I speak with inspiring, passionate people week after week who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 255, and this week on the show, finding clients on YouTube with landscape architect Jake Krokowski. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors. FreshBooks, the cloud-based accounting software that makes running your small firm easy, fast, and secure. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work that you love. And RCAT, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM, specification, and so much more. Find what you need fast at RCAT.com. Jake Krokowski, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
It's great to be here. I've been a loyal listener for about 2 years now, so I'm happy to be on the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I've been listening and watching you. Let's get into that a little bit. So let me just tell people who you are. Jake Krokowski is a licensed landscape architect based in Greenville, South Carolina. He's the sole proprietor as JWK Design. And I have a confession. About 8 years, maybe 10 years ago, I did a full media blackout. I stopped watching the news. I stopped listening to the radio. I stopped reading newspapers. Full media blackout. Anything that I can't control, I don't watch it anymore. I don't let it enter my head. Unless it sort of happens, it happens. So TV went away. I stopped watching TV. It's been replaced by YouTube. That's my confession. I stopped watching TV. I actually canceled my cable, but I discovered YouTube, and I'm just as addicted to YouTube as I was with TV. But the good thing about YouTube is that I can control what goes into my head, which That's is true. what I love about it. So I don't have that issue with the rest of it. And I discovered Jake while searching for interesting content. You know, I drop my iPad on my lap every night, and I have the channels that I follow, and I do a little search every day to see what else is out there. And Jake's YouTube channel popped up. Yes, Jake is a YouTuber. So what is a YouTuber? We're going to get into that. Some of you may not know what a YouTuber is. Some of you just intuitively may know what a YouTuber is, but there's a specific title out there. It's called YouTuber. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about video in general for architects. But before we get into that, I want to know more about Jake. I want Jake to go back to your origin story, Jake. Tell us where you discovered architecture and design and landscape architecture and what inspired you to do that, and give us the journey from that point to where you find yourself today.
All right. Well, I'm going to add YouTuber to my business card, because that's, I haven't actually called myself one yet.
You didn't even realize that. Yeah.
Well, right. Right. Though I am on the platform.
Yeah. No doubt. A title. That's what people do for a profession. There are people out there who just do YouTube.
That's very true. And quite a lot, actually. So we can get all the way back in the origin story to Legos at age two and art classes in school and private throughout, and then running my own kind of small landscaping business in high school. And it was only junior year of high school that I realized you could mix art and landscaping. Through a friend of the family, who was another licensed landscape architect, and almost immediately fell in love with that profession. Chose to go to Cornell University in the mid 90s to pursue that degree. And then after that, returned back to northern New Jersey and was doing work for a small firm ebbed and flowed between four and five people, primarily single family residential, is where I started my design career.
And were you doing architecture there or landscape architecture?
Landscape architecture. It was strictly a landscape architecture firm. Spent some time, about 7 years, out in San Diego, where project scale kind of grew and grew, and then found a love for hotel and resort design.
And the weather was much better.
Weather was much better.
I'm a Jersey boy too. I know what it's like to live right here.
it was not a bad place to be in your 20s, for sure. So, yeah. So worked for a couple great firms out there, but always knew I was going to come back to the East Coast, and did so in 07. Joining the resorts team of EDAW, which was quickly gobbled up by AECOM, or was maybe in the process of being gobbled up when I joined. So was doing large resort, international resort work with them, and getting more and more into construction detailing, construction management, really. And when the bottom dropped out in 08, luckily AECOM had quite a few public works contracts, the area of the World Trade Center being the most notable. And I had the absolute privilege to work on that for a number of years, a lot of full-time field work as well. So I feel rounded out a design career in having that hands-on experience. So fast forward a few years, my wife and I decided to make the move down to Greenville, South Carolina, to slow things down a little bit. And that's been great. And then in 2015, after having a few off and on freelance clients, so I was working full time in construction management, really missed the design side of things, and was able to jump out on my own with a few larger clients that I had, and suddenly realized how many hats I needed to wear to run a small firm.
You were an entrepreneur architect.
The marketer being quite a large part of it. And I'm in my just into my fourth year of business here. And I'd say it's about 18 to 24 months ago. I got on the YouTube kick as well. I'm probably 80-20, maybe not 100-0 as you are, but as far as consumption goes. But found very quickly a few contractors that had solid channels, Matt Reisinger being one of them.
Matt's going to be on the show soon. We have him scheduled.
Fantastic. I followed him for a while. And at some point mid or the late 2017, found Eric Reinhold, 30 by 40 Design Group. And that just blew my mind.
Yeah. Eric does a great job. Eric's a great friend of the show, has been on the podcast several times. And probably the best video channel, period. You know, I think he does a great job.
Right. It looks like you went to USC film school as opposed to architecture school.
Very inspiring. I could see how that would inspire you.
That was definitely a turning point to realize that you could tell your story as a designer much more strongly having the video behind it. From the start of JWK Design, I was quickly on house.com and trying to learn web design and put the few pictures I had of my own work. But you know, it's so much more of a static medium. And in a lot of cases, you know, you could probably say for the vast majority of Americans, if not those in the world, when they see these high-end work, their first thought could be, I can't afford it, or I can't afford to have it designed properly. But what I'm continuing to work through in video is there's so many facets to each of us, whether it's professional or, in personal hobbies, personal development, that you can tell and really communicate to potential clients. And video, I think, is just the best way to do it.
Yeah, and I think the trend is moving in that direction too. I mean, a couple of years ago, it was all about blogs and writing articles, and that's what people were consuming. That's what Google was pushing. And the last few years, it's all about video and audio, and so YouTube is a huge channel. It's the second largest search engine in the world after Google.
By the first, right?
Yeah. Yeah, owned by Google, right? And so it's a huge opportunity to get noticed and to get your message out there.
Yes, and where I follow and I appreciate, you know, channels such as there's How to Architect, there's 30 by 40, which is skews a little more towards aspiring and practicing architects. Other than, you know, like Home and Garden or House and Garden and This Old House, there's a huge gap of channels that are customer or client focused on how do you work with an architect? How do you work through the design process? There's so much of a story that I think could be told better to explain the value. And that's not just landscape architects, that's architects on your end, that's interior design as well.
Yeah.
There's a big, I see a big void on how we can better explain what we do and communicate our value.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, that's a big piece of what architects and landscape architects need to do is to tell our story, because there are stories out there. HGTV and the DIY channel, they're telling a story, whether we like it or not, about who we are, and so that's what's identifying us. That's our label, and that's not who we are. And the only way we're going to do that is to tell our own story, whether it's in writing or through social media or through YouTube channel and creating our own videos and our own content to describe what we do and how we do it. And you're right, Jake. I think I don't know of any other than the ones you've described, and none of them are specifically focused toward the client. Your channel, you're doing this to sort of educate the client about who landscape architects and architects are. And I think that you sort of have, from what I've seen, been pretty agnostic about landscape architecture and architecture. It's more about, you know, hiring an architect and a designer. I want you to sort of talk about your channel and what it is, what's the intent of it, and how you're sort of what are your goals? What are your goals for the channel?
Certainly. So, and just to give context and yeah, maybe finish that origin story. I'm in month three now. Just released my eighth video this morning. So I'm very early in the process, started November of last year, but the intent of the channel is just that it's purely educational. That's not to say that other ideas won't creep in. I have thoughts of potentially a second channel far down the line. I don't have the time. there's simply not enough hours in the day. I also have two boys under the age of three, so it's
hands
a little hectic. Yes. But
do you have a is your studio based in your house?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's another level. I mean, many of the listeners, I'm doing the same thing. We're all sort of integrating our lives with our firms and our families, and so we can all associate and recognize what you're going through with that.
Yes, certainly. I'm keeping it lean at this point, so my office is my supply closet, is my recording studio. So
yeah exactly.
So yeah, as far as the first few videos that have been released. It's how I tried to approach it was to think of an initial series that would give an overview of working through a process with a designer. That's from how and where you find them, industry websites, Google search, sites like Houzz. Walking through that, I do screen captures of what those sites look like and what you need to click to find these people, and then getting into how you vet an interview, and then future videos will be going through the actual design process. You know, when you present a proposal, when you talk through, you know, concept SD, DD, CD, and you see the client glaze over, there's a much better job that I think we can do of really explaining what those are, as opposed to just a bullet point list of deliverables. So I've got those in the works.
So have you put together a content calendar, sort of this is what I'm going to record and when?
I do. I've actually mapped out the whole of the coming year. I've got 50 videos planned.
And you release them weekly?
Yes, that is the goal. I took a little break over the holidays here, and that may come up at the end of this year as well. But so still finding my footing. It hasn't necessarily been every Thursday or every Friday, only because, you know, life comes up. And if the video has to go out on a Saturday morning, well, it does. But I am planning to stay consistent weekly. And that makes a big difference. To get into the technical side of things, that makes a big difference with the YouTube algorithm, which I say you shouldn't stress over too much, but consistency definitely matters. And it only helps in the search results when folks, potential clients, are looking for information about architecture and design.
So you have 50 videos scheduled. How long are they typically when they're
published? Shooting for anywhere from 4 to 6 minutes.
So pretty short. But if it takes a long time to get to that 4 to 6 minutes, right? How long does it take to record the content that's edited down to 4 to 6 minutes and published? How much time are you dedicating per video?
So obviously only in my first handful of videos here, so it's certainly taken a lot longer to learn. I learned editing with the first video.
What software are you using for the editing?
I jumped into Final Cut Pro. I've done a few.
You jumped right into the big pond.
I did, but you know, it's really not that much different than iMovie. There's a few more nice to have features, and there's a cost associated with it. But if you can learn iMovie, you can learn Final Cut.
Yeah, and that's an Apple software. I guess the Adobe version would be Premiere.
Correct. Yeah, my whole business and my life is in the Apple ecosystem, so it only made sense to stick with it. But
yeah.
They're very comparable. There's a range of free editing software out there in addition to iMovie that I haven't necessarily explored, but there are many options out there. For those who are really trying to keep costs down, the level of entry, I guess I'm trying to say, is it's very low. The bar of entry is very low for video. You can the cameras on the latest phones. Again, I'm on the iPhone, but I think starting with iPhone 6, I mean, you could shoot 4K video if you wanted to.
And you don't necessarily need 4K.
Not at all. In fact, I would suggest just stick with 1080. There's no reason to go to 4K.
Yeah, unless you're getting into cinematic video, you don't. It's an unnecessary amount of bandwidth.
Right. And you know, the thing that there's probably a million stats out there, but there are probably more people watching on iPads and even phones than sitting at a desktop doing this kind of research or just perusing YouTube in general. So they're watching a 1080 or even 720. So you don't need to go overboard and have terabytes upon terabytes of storage in the back of your office.
Yeah. And so what's the timing sort of, if you do one episode, how long is it taking you to do that?
Yes. I should probably answer the question. so the, The first few, mainly due to nerves, I probably spent an hour to two just filming, of stopping and starting and stuttering. Yeah.
It's hard to do.
It is hard to do. I'm going to release some sort of blooper reel at some point because it's really funny. And I think it would be telling to, you know, pretty much any video you watch out there, they all have bloopers. They just, it's part of the deal. And anywhere from, I'd say I've got it down to 1 to 2 hours to edit. Obviously the first few took quite a bit longer. But I have a process in place now. So I know where I'm going to get my graphics. I know where I'm pulling my music from. So the first
few episodes were like 3 or 4 or 5 hours. As you're getting better at it, it's coming down to maybe 2 hours at this point. What's your goal as you sort of, once you sort of know the software, have the process in place, what do you expect it to be?
I don't see it taking less than 2 hours, actually. The first few actually took closer to 8 or 10, the first couple.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect, FreshBooks and Arcat. Do you remember when you started your small firm? It was no small feat. It took a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings, and the occasional all-nighter. Bottom line, you've been insanely busy ever since. We wear so many hats as small firms, so why not make things a little bit easier? Well, our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners like us. It's simple, intuitive, and keeps you way more organized than a dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds, and then get them paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. I love that feature. File expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part, FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Join the 24 million people who've used FreshBooks. Try it for free for 30 days, free for 30 days, no catch, no credit card required. Visit entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks. Hey, and don't forget to enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. It's what so many of us small firm architects dread, editing down a manufacturer's specification. It's what so many of us small firm architects dread, editing down that manufacturer's specifications. We don't have time for that. You're staring down a 54-page specification and you only want one product and all its attributes. There is a better way. And it's not throwing the entire specification into your project documents. It's Arcat. It's Arcat's Spec Wizard. Spec Wizard is a unique tool that allows you to specify a product in minutes, not hours, minutes, by turning a specification into a simple-to-use website. Just select the products and options you want to specify and generate a 3-part CSI specification in multiple formats. You can use whatever format you need. Best of all, like everything at Arcat, it's free and it requires no registration. Visit entrearchitect.com/Arcat. That's A-R-C-A-T, entrearchitect.com/Arcat. Pop that right in that URL, pop that into your favorites so you get it, you know, an easy link whenever you need it. And then try the better way of specifying products, Spec Wizard by Arcat.com. FreshBooks and Arcat, please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community.
This is not just take your iPhone and talk into it, push a button and it's on YouTube. It's a lot of time to record it, because I want to get into that too. I want to talk about the nerves and the fear of starting this thing.
I would answer that with it depends. If you're getting into, you know, you can go, and I'm not sure if they're members, you know, subscriber requirements on utilizing YouTube Live, but Facebook Live, you can just get on the phone and be at your job site and talk through it. Same for Instagram stories.
Yeah.
And that's a live video.
And YouTube Live is live. You can, I think everybody can use YouTube Live now. I think it's fully released. So you can click a button and record a live video and it's done.
But it's
live and no edited.
Right, right. So I have not jumped into that and any live video yet.
That's a totally different thing.
That's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
As is the conversation of, and I think it's due to the nature of our profession, the amount of polish that these videos should have. I'd say a good number, if not the majority of customers out there might want to see their designer just being real, talking into the phone as if they were on a Skype call or Zoom call with that designer. So there's a give and take. I'm definitely guilty of rehashing graphics and matching up music beats to coincide with different changes in the video. So, and you can get as drilled into the minutiae as you want. So,
and it's a creative process. I mean, it's something that it's not just documenting, you're actually creating something. And so you want it to be the best it could be, you know, with the audio and the video working together, that, you know, when there's an edit and the music changes and that's all, that doesn't just happen. That's something that is designed into the process. And so, you can take it as far as you want. You know, I'm sure the videos that Eric is producing over at 30 by 40 have got to take a tremendous amount of time to record and edit. I actually haven't talked to him about that. Maybe we should have him on and talk about that. Maybe the three of us should get on and talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. I would suspect he's into days.
Yeah.
with the number of setups that he has going. Most of my videos to date have been talking heads, which is, it's a great way to get started. And there's that eye to eye connection with potential clients and I'm starting to mix in B roll. And a lot of the time that's just still images where you do if you're familiar with the Ken Burns effect, where you put a little motion to the picture, as opposed to going out and shooting full video B roll, which is something I'm planning to get into this year. Just haven't done so yet, but, there's a whole level that you can explore there.
So what I think the biggest piece, and it's a big piece of me not doing it yet. I haven't mentioned it on the call here or yet, but you know, I've talked about it in the past. I want to start a channel for Entree Architect. I have a personal channel that I play with. I throw things up there every once in a while. But I haven't committed to it because I want it to be right. You know, I want it I want to have the time to do it the way I want it done. But there's a balance there. And so, I have two questions for you. How much should architects be worried about that? About, you know, whether should they just jump in the pool and start swimming, or should they, you know, make sure that they have the capacity to sort of build something? And how does fear work into that? Because that's a piece of it's stopping me from it too, is that, you know, there's always fear in everything that's new and, you know, you're going to put it out there for the entire world to see. There's a level of fear. And so what about that idea of starting?
I will say that somewhere between that, in that 18 to 24 month mark where I began to watch a few different YouTubers, that I made the decision that I was going to do it, but I would say definitely get a plan in place. You don't want to do one video and then go away for 4 months and then, oh, I have an idea. You know, if you're going to spend the time on it, I would suggest putting together, even if it's a small series, whether it's documenting your design process, whether it's an office tour, whether you want to get into highlighting some of your staff members, if you have a staff, or even just to tell your origin story and in different parts. I put a plan together and I don't have a set number, but I would plan out a certain number of videos so that you're working towards a goal like that, as opposed to just turning on the camera and saying, hey, this is what I'm working on today. And then you know, you're not online for 3 months.
Yeah.
It's a much more powerful connection. And I'm not even talking about the the YouTube algorithm, but as far as a connection for someone that finds you, especially if they're local to you and could be a potential client or a potential collaborator, another architect or designer, to have that consistency is something that should absolutely be part of your plan.
Yeah. So there, I heard two things there. And the first one you jumped through real quick was commitment. You decided I'm going to do this. And that was a big hurdle to get past. And then the second thing was plan it out.
Yes.
Before you start.
So I decided I was going to do it and then continued to research for another 12 months.
Well, that's how Entre Architect started. You planned it for 2 years.
And then bought a camera setup. The camera setups sat in that closet for 4 months before I pushed record. And to get into the fear, it was absolutely fear. It was fear of I haven't learned enough. I don't have enough videos planned out. But in actuality, if you can plan out four videos, if you can do 4 weeks, and even if it's every other week, that might even be the schedule that Eric's on, is about every other week with the level of production that he has going on there. And that's fine. You could do once a month. There's a lot of full-time YouTube creators, not in the architecture and design space, that release one video a month. And
yeah,
to hundreds of thousands of subscribers. And granted, it's probably a little more pop culture oriented, but they're making a living doing that, which is crazy. You wouldn't have said that 10 years ago. So
the important thing is consistency, right? That if you're going to do it daily, you're going to do it weekly, you're going to do it biweekly, you're going to do it monthly, that's what you do. You have it on your schedule, you plan it out, it becomes part of your workflow, and every month on this date, you release a video.
Yes, because it truly is part of my marketing plan. If you're sending out an email or hard copy newsletter every month or every week, if you're advertising in local publications every month, if you're fortunate enough to be on a regular podcast or local news programs, something to that effect, there's consistency built in there into the other areas of your marketing plan. So that's truly how I'm approaching this. It is part of marketing. It's built into monthly costs. So it's mostly time. It's more time than cost for me now, although that's another piece we can talk into and you get into either bringing in freelancers or outsourcing. That's a whole other ball game that will really allow you to ramp up production, but you have to balance that against, you know, the amount of client work that you can pick up to cover those costs. So,
yeah. So how does it fit into your marketing plan? What is it? Is it your only marketing? And if not, what else are you doing? And how are you planning to use YouTube videos to get jobs?
That's a great question. So the parts of my current marketing plan are a monthly newsletter to local contractors and other designers, a few select designers that I'm looking to work with and maintain relationships with. I do pay for Pro Plus placement on house.com. That's actually been the bulk of my referrals, as opposed to word of mouth referrals. But what I'm finding in just 8 short videos on YouTube, I am creating those YouTube videos, uploading those, and the same day I'm running a snippet of those on my Facebook business page, mentioning them in my Instagram story with the link in my bio to go to that video.
So it's all driving traffic back to the YouTube channel.
All driving traffic back to YouTube. And I am starting to experiment. I'm a couple weeks in to then taking those Facebook snippets and running those as paid ads. So that's another paid placement, as opposed to going into a printed publication or in your newspaper. Or
so
local
paid ads on Facebook.
Yes.
So you post them on your business page on Facebook as organic content, and then you boost them, or you create ads that are built around those same videos to push it out to beyond the people who are subscribed to your page.
Yes. So I'm not using the boost feature. That tends to focus more just on who happens to be online, who happens to be holding their phone.
Right. Yeah.
And you click boost. I'm getting very targeted with how I'm utilizing Facebook ads. And I've only got it down, or I have it down to just a couple dollars a day, which in the grand scheme of things, when you compare that to what you pay for a quarter page or a half page in a printed publication, it's pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And, you know, so each week those videos are being pushed as sponsored ads, and I'm, you know, I'm getting four-figure views, not necessarily engagement or folks watching the whole video.
You have eyeballs on them.
Eyeballs on my logo, even if they're scrolling.
Yep.
JWK Design logo is appearing. So,
and you've just started, and so you want to sort of build the brand and the recognition of what you do and how you do it, and eventually you'll be known as the landscape guy who does those YouTube channel videos, and he knows what he wants to do and how he wants to do it, and I want to work with him. I like him.
Yes, and through what I would say is the power of video, those potential clients, they sort of know you. Kind of like when I just jumped on here, I felt like I knew you because I've been hearing your voice for months and months now. Right. So it's the same effect.
Yeah, it is powerful. So what I heard with the marketing plan, it's a newsletter that stays consistent. So you're sort of pushing it out there, and the YouTube channel and the video, is that also on that newsletter?
Is it
being referenced? Been.
Well, it's a hard copy newsletter at this point.
So it's paper.
It's paper.
What's that? What's paper? I don't. No, I'm just kidding. Paper. Yeah, I remember paper.
It's a very small group that gets to receive that. I did forget to mention that the minute that the YouTube video goes live, my email list gets an email, and it's not just the YouTube. It's featuring the YouTube video, and there's a direct link. There's the thumbnail. You can watch it right in the email if your email is set up to show HTML. And then some other, I have a couple other segments that I feature and just in my weekly email. So it's a weekly email as well.
Right. So you have a weekly email, you have a weekly paper newsletter that gets mailed out weekly. You said
monthly
newsletter, YouTube, both on your YouTube page and paid. You were starting to go paid, and YouTube. So it sounds like you're. The hub of it's going to be YouTube eventually, and then everything else is going to be supporting moving traffic and eyeballs and an audience to build an audience for that YouTube channel and get more people to get into the habit of watching Jay Krakowski on YouTube.
That's right. Yeah, you could call it hub and spoke, and that actually I didn't come up with that. I've seen that term in a few places, but we really drilled it in. Actually, someone you had on the podcast. I've been working with Ashley Garland as business coach. So that's.
Yeah, Ashley's coming back. Actually, I'm recording another maybe soon, today or the next few days. She's coming back to record another one. She's going to be on in the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic. Yeah. So that hub and spoke approach with the YouTube video being the center of it. Now, furthermore, now I haven't done this, but it's something that you might consider going forward is. Have the video be the center, and you're able to extract the audio, and that in itself becomes a podcast,
right?
Potentially, if you if you script it the right way, and you can add in different, say talking points if you wanted to overlay those. You've got your sponsorships that you overlay into that too, that you wouldn't necessarily have, or you might have in the YouTube video. I don't know, but. So you're able to pull video snippets, you're able to pull the audio, you're able to pull stills from it potentially to work through Instagram and Facebook. So there's a whole lot that you can do once you've got this main piece of content.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And actually, you and I were talking about, we're recording the video of this interview. And so this is going to be chopped up on Jake's end and repurposed. And so that's inspiring me. to, maybe I should. I have video of almost every interview I've done, but, I've never released the video part of it. It's always been just to have the conversation. But there's a missed opportunity there for us.
Yes, I think you should put that out as a question in your Facebook group on what would folks like to see past episodes but have the video.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's a good idea. Yeah, I could put eggs. That's true. The content's already there. I got 250. This is 255 episodes that could be repurposed as video. Well, not all of them were video recorded, but over 200 of them certainly were recorded.
That's getting towards a year's worth of content. So,
yeah. Well, you got me going. It's all about the time. You know, I need to build a bigger team.
Yes, it is. It is a time commitment. I was up late last night finishing off the edit for this morning's video. So,
yeah. But it's all, you know, it's replacing other things, and so that's your marketing time. You know, so whether you're out there going to networking events and shaking hands, or you know, going out to coffee with people, or working for referrals, instead of that, you're editing videos and getting, you know, getting the eyeballs on the videos, building an audience over there, building a family around your channel. So when those people want an architect or a landscape architect, they go to you first because they're the guy you know.
Absolutely. And actually that reminds me of something I thought of this morning before we recorded here, was that whether it's Google or YouTube, when potential clients or folks just in the research phase are searching for either local architects or just design ideas, you know, that's where their eyeballs are. So Google and YouTube, it's really the world's largest networking event.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, and what do you do when you go to a normal, quote unquote, networking event? Is you go up to one person and you shake their hand and you introduce yourself. And the only way you can really look someone in the eye in the online space is through video. So, you know, I approach each video as if I'm talking to one person, as if I'm talking to my ideal client, and they don't totally know what I do and my process. So,
That's exactly how it comes off. So you're succeeding with that. When I watch them, that's exactly, I feel like you're talking right to me.
Fantastic. All right.
Yeah. So this has really been interesting. I think there are a lot of people out there who have the idea that they want to do more video. I love the idea of sort of small victories. People have heard me talk about small victories in the past. Break it down to, okay, let's just do four. Just commit to four of them. Make them really short. Make them simple and do it. Maybe start with live. The live is even more, you know, sort of mind-bending in terms of fear. And so
a little bit. I do want to touch on that fear point again, and thinking about a good way to start. You know, if you go back into looking down here at a couple of channels that I follow, and one is The Mod Man, the other is How to Architect. There's a good number of their videos. There's no face. It's either an overhead camera shot of actually the How to Architect, his first video was how to letter. Just an overhead shot of him lettering.
Yeah, Doug Pat. He's
Doug Pat. Thank you.
Doug Pat's been on the show. He's a longtime friend, and he's been doing it longer than any of us. He's been on YouTube for a long time.
I looked it up this morning. 10 years.
10 years. So. Yeah. So he's been on from the beginning. Well, not immediately from the beginning, but really early. And he's been very consistent. He's just chugging along, built, and he just loves doing what he's doing. And so that's and that's true. There's no, you know, no camera at all. It's just talking over graphics.
Right. So if hand graphics are something you love, if SketchUp or Revit is something you love, collecting and reading through and potentially reviewing books, something you love, you don't have to feature the work and the process of your firm. You can feature the facet of the profession that you love most.
Yeah. If you love to sketch, I guarantee you, if you started a YouTube channel that recorded your hand sketching and you sketched, and every week you published a video of you sketching, you would build an audience, a big one.
Oh, absolutely.
And no words, nothing. Just put some music over you sketching. And you would have if you did that consistently every week, you'd have 100,000 people following you in the next couple of years.
Absolutely. I'm just looking because I wrote a few things down. You know, The Mod Man is 100,000 subs.
What is that? Mod Man?
The Mod Man. The M-O-D-M-I-N.
Mod Min. Okay. I don't know that
one. There's another channel, Show It Better, 120,000 subscribers. How to Architect, 180,000. And it's a lot of those videos, if not all those videos for some of the channels, it's simply drawing. So there's a huge reach there. Now, are they necessarily potential design clients? Probably not. But
that's right. That's true.
But it's brand recognition.
Yeah. You will get the audience and people will know your brand. Doing something like that sketching doesn't give you what you're doing, you know, face-to-face contact with somebody where you're building a trust level there while doing that. But certainly, if you wanted to start doing video and you wanted an easy way in, and you're great at sketching, take your take your iPhone and record your hand sketching and post it.
Absolutely.
And start. Absolutely. And then from that, you'll gain some following, some confidence, some courage, and maybe you lift the camera up one day and start talking into it.
Right. And that's not to say that you have to be all one or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
You can sketch for the rest of your life. Those sketching videos. Absolutely.
Yeah. Very, very interesting. This has been fantastic. Before we wrap up here, Jake, I want to ask you the question that I ask everybody. What is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Very simply, start small. I know only a handful of Entree Architects fellow listeners, but I know for myself, I'm an office of one in a home office, and I think a lot of the other listeners here started the same way or are currently in the same position, and you're making small moves to make your firm better. So whether that's just recording things on your phone or whether that's recording you doing a time lapse of you working out a concept, and you posting that onto your Facebook page as a start, there are just small moves that you can do to build your online video presence and be consistent in that. And it's going to be pretty amazing a few years down the line when you can look back and see what you've built.
Yeah, that's awesome. So on the web, if you want to go check out Jake's website, it's jwk.design. There's no .com there. It's jwk.design. And that'll take you to his website. And he's all over social media. He's on Howes, as he mentioned. Howes, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. All of those links will be in our show notes. And they're also on the header at jwk.design. And the last thing before we wrap up here, Jake, you had mentioned that you have a questionnaire for architects who want to launch a YouTube channel. You want to talk about that a little bit? What is that questionnaire and how can people help you out with that?
Absolutely. So if you go to jwk.design/entrearchitect. I am looking to gather information not only for future YouTube videos, but potentially for other educational content and how I can help fellow firm owners incorporate video into their marketing strategy. So it's a small series of questions, and actually do have a special challenge at the end. I won't mention it here, but you got to go to the site to find out.
All right. So it's jwk.design/entrearchitect, and it'll fill out the questionnaire. If you're interested in starting a YouTube channel and Jake is considering putting together something that will help you do that, this is a great opportunity for you to go do that, because then he will be able to contact you when he puts something like that together, if he puts something like that together. I'm assuming this is probably part of that is if you don't get anybody responding, why bother? But if you get 1,000 people responding, then, maybe you want to put together something that could help those people get started.
Right.
So,
right. I think, I will say it's not strictly a YouTube channel, also video for Facebook.
Video, right.
Incorporating Instagram stories and actually LinkedIn. If you're in the B2B, aka commercial and industrial sectors, LinkedIn is an amazing platform where you can incorporate video as well.
Very true. If it's B2B, LinkedIn is where to be. It's really it's better than YouTube at this point. LinkedIn is huge for B2B.
It is. So I'm continuing to do research on that. My client work is strictly residential, but I do want to have that knowledge base to be able to share with folks as well.
Yeah. So if you want to help Jake with that questionnaire, it's jwk.design/entrearchitect. Go do that. I am asking you to go do that. So go do that. jwk.design/entrearchitect. Jake, this has been really interesting. This has been inspiring for me because this is something that I've been thinking about for a long time. And I'm a fan of YouTube. I'm a fan of yours. I'm looking forward to the future of your YouTube channel to watch how it grows and how it evolves. And so thanks for being here and thanks for sharing your knowledge here at Entree Architect Podcast.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm expecting to see an Entree Architect YouTube channel this year.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. It's coming in the future.
It's not in the
plan right now, but you never know. You never know. If things go as planned, we'll have multiple YouTube channels.
There you go. Start small.
Let's keep our fingers crossed that we can hit some of the goals that we have planned for 2019. So, Jake, thanks for the inspiration and the motivation. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So now you know. That's what I say to my kids. Whenever we listen to any podcasts that are informative, at the end of the podcast, I turn around to my kids and say, well, now you know. So now you know. Now if you're interested in how to put together a YouTube channel and whether it's worth it, now you know. If you want to share this episode with a friend, this is episode 255. You can share the link, entrearchitect.com/episode255. And I would appreciate it if you would. I do. That's how we're growing. That's how this platform is growing. That's how Entree Architect is spreading through the world for small firm architects, because of you spreading this podcast episode by episode. So share this one, entrearchitect.com/episode255. Make it a habit. Every week, listen, and then pop it to a friend that may have not heard of us, so we can keep growing year after year after year. And we're going to make this profession a new profession. We're going to change this profession with the individual, independent architects. You're going to rise up with thriving businesses. We're going to take over this profession and change the world, one architect at a time. Are you with me? Okay, let's start small. Let's start with the link, entrearchitect.com/episode255. We'll take baby steps. So just share that episode and we'll take over the world later. Until then, download the free profit calculator at entrearchitect.com/profit calculator. And then let us know what you think about it, because if you like what we're doing, we'll build more. So go download the Entree Architect Profit Calculator right now for free at entrearchitect.com/profit calculator. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and so are you if you're listening to this. I encourage you to go build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and this sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault. or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark Arlepage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.